You're listening to the Wanderlust Swingers podcast with Aussie hosts Kate and Daryl. If you're curious about exploring your sexuality or the swinging, hot wifing and non-monogamous lifestyle, you've definitely come to the right podcast. Or maybe you just love travel adventures. Either way, we share our personal, sometimes juicy, sexy stories as well as swingers club and event reviews, interviews with other sassy people and of course our global swinging adventures. We try to bring you a look into the diverse lifestyle that the swinging and non-monogamous community has. We hope you enjoy. Now let's get into the episode. Pants off, pants on, friendship in the swingers lifestyle, or other words, I don't know, friends with benefits. So Mr. and Mrs. H, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Daryl, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, I get a welcome this time. That's fantastic. Look at me being special.
Pants on, pants off, friendship. We're going to talk about the pros and the cons of having kind of, like longer term pants on, pants off friends. Do we want to call them friends of benefits, or is there a difference between the two, do you think, first of all, before we get started?
Let's explore this and break it down. What do we mean by pants on, pants off friends? Are these like friends that we've met in the lifestyle that we see more regularly?
When they had their pants on.
You actually trade pants with. Because there's people out there that I've always wanted to trade pants with. Tom Cruise has some really nice pants, I think.
Is it people that you can be friends with regardless of whether their pants are on or off?
What about if I'm wearing my pants on my head?
Nothing would surprise
me. There's a lot of conversation here about pants that I'm not really across.
Here's how I like to think about it. I like to think about it that it's friendships, that I would be doing activities with my friends, things like going to wineries, going out, going to an arcade, whatever that looks like, whatever your
is
activities.
It one of those wineries where everyone serves wine except me?
Then they take the pants off.
Activities and friendships that you have, that you would have in a vanilla setting, that you just also happen to sometimes have sex with.
Mm-hmm.
That's my definition of it.
Geez, that sometimes was really quite stretched. It makes it sound like, you know, infrequent. Doesn't have to be infrequent though, right? It can be frequent as well. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've got another segue question that just occurred to me, but if I don't ask it now, I won't remember it later, about the friend thing. Do you think there's a danger that having friends with benefits and the frequency or the infrequency of that sex, do you think you end up having sex more with other people that you're friends with than you do with your own partner sometimes?
Well, that's a very deep...
I know it is. That's why I had to get it out of my head.
That's a very good question. I think there is absolutely a risk of that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Why? Is it because the sex with other people is the driving force with what keeps it all exciting, or is it because you can have sex with your partner at any time?
No, I think there's a few things that drive that. I mean, it may be the up or down cycle of your own coupledom sex that is less frequent for a particular reason, but you still enjoy hanging out with these people, and the stimulation is more sexually inclined because of the relationship you have with them, right? So you're with your partner most every day, whereas you don't get to see these people every day, and hence there's a little bit more to that. It's also a little bit more sexually derived or driven because of your time you get to spend with them.
Time work to get together.
Yes, to get together, which means there's a limited time potential to turn that into something that you may wish to be sexual.
You're probably also doing something that's outside of the house chores and the responsibilities of budgeting and paying bills and looking after kids and all the fucking adulting things. So you probably find that you're also going and doing things with those friends, which stimulates a little bit more excitement.
Yeah, so you've curated your experience to go and enjoy extracurricular things.
Those friends become the fun uncle.
The fact that you might, you're around the house every day and folding clothes and doing the washing and blah, 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 and working and,
Sorry, I derailed you completely because I just had that question in my head. It suddenly went, I need to get this out of that.
You could have just written it down and waited it to...
She also has nothing to write on. I mean, not everybody's sitting here with a piece of cardboard they've just salvaged from the rubbish to be able to write on.
Exactly.
I didn't salvage it from the rubbish. I was yet to put it in the rubbish, makes it in this like...
It's
the pirate's...
Still useful.
It's international waters paper at this point in time.
It's the most hipster way of recording your notes. You're going to write your new novel. You're going to go down to Starbucks with your big bit of card.
So I think one of the pros of having pants on, pants off friends.
Can we just say friends with benefits, please? P&P.
But I do think there is that space where you kind of, it doesn't feel like traditional swinging because if there is such a thing. And it feels a little bit more than that, but it doesn't feel quite like it's in the realms of a poly relationship.
Mm. Okay. Would you want to call it then for the purpose of not saying friends with
we're just not going to say it again.
Off?
Yeah.
Friends, yeah, we're done.
Sexy
this,
friends.
This entire podcast is now about exactly that topic.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
One of my pros is that it's nice to have friends. That's a pro.
It is.
And so unusual for Kate.
I put 2 exclamation points after that. So I really want to make that point.
You're just using up, you're wasting cardboard that you could be writing other things on.
No, it's nice to have friends. And I think it's nice to have friends that you can feel like you're actually maybe being yourself around. So if you've got friends from high school or friends from work or wherever they're coming from, mum group friends, whatever the fuck, maybe you can't be yourself around those people truly. And it's nice to have friends that you actually can be your whole version of yourself around instead of having any portions that you show people.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to discuss your brand new dildo with your friend from work who you just happen to have an after work drink with, whereas you could with your sexy friend.
Did you wink at me on purpose then, like, hey, this sexy with your sexy friend?
What I'm thinking here is I need to start changing my standard conversation at work from what I've just heard. Question I'd like to ask on that. So do you think you always are your true self with the other people?
Well, good question.
I think you've got more of a chance of being. I would say like anything, like any friendship though, you're probably not. I mean, this is why you have your core partner, isn't it? You see everything. You see all the good, all the bad, all my bad days. You see my depressed days. You hear me talk horrible things about myself. I don't think that I would share that level of depth with Mr. and Mrs. H, for example.
Not necessarily us, but why? Why would you not?
Why won't you love me?
Why would you not trust that friend? If your fat friend is so important to you and you made such a good connection with them, why would you keep things from them that you know they could
but
potentially
it's a time
help?
Thing, though. Right. Well, it partly is because you only spend so much time with your friends.
You're not meeting the friend specifically to have sex with them. You're meeting the friend because you love them and you want to spend time with them in whatever capacity that is. You know, some of our sexy friends have been there for us through thick and thin, and they see our whole selves. We don't withhold things from them sometimes.
But broadly, you spend much more time with your own partner, and therefore your partner sees much more of you. I suspect if you spent every waking moment with your friends in some sort of big collective, then you'd see the other sides as well.
I don't like the idea of that.
No, that sounds terrifying.
I would like to pencil in an I'm out.
I think there is, you know, there is something about that with friends. And this is the thing, is that you do get the best, you generally get the best of them because you see them for a short period of time. So you don't see, like, as we said, the behind the scenes stuff as much. You do get insight into it. But often, you know, we've come away like, we love our friends, but like, I wouldn't want to live with them 24 hours a day because it's bad enough living with each other.
Yeah, sorry, doll, she's with you. We're not taking her away from you.
Yeah, I was about to say, I cannot confirm nor deny that feeling. Or
I don't know whether they're seen or attacked.
Both. It's a pro anacon.
Just feel loved. Just feel loved and right, accept so, it.
Okay. True enough grenades at that. Let's move. Let's go on to, I think, Mr. H here has, oh, he's got a list. Oh, and the interesting thing here is we've got one person working on an iPad, you know, beavering away with their own handwriting. Yeah, oh yeah, consummate professional. And then we've got somebody working on a piece of cardboard that they've just not, sorry, that is
international waters
between the rubbish and your lap.
Possession.
And we've got someone else, naming their names, who is just like counting down the minutes until Pokemon Community Day starts.
I'm just here for the fun. So one of the pros that I want to talk about is about developing those relationships because you get to see so many sides of people and you kind of...
Inside, outside.
With pants, without, you know, without pants, all the different pant combinations. And actually, because it's more long-term, you do create these much deeper relationships. And that's where I think it's not quite poly, but it is somewhere more than just a standard friendship.
Yeah.
And somewhere more than just standard swinging fun.
Mm.
That was my pro. Feel free to comment on it if you do.
I think you covered it with such complexity that it doesn't need any other evaluation.
Yes, I'm winning. In your face, Kate.
iPad 1, cardboard, null. I actually had a similar thing to expand on what you just said, and I said that trying new things, exploring new potential kinks, if you've got some more comfort, you might then be more open. So if you just go and have sex with somebody in a club, maybe you're not sharing, oh, I really want to actually try some shibari and bondage, and I've always wanted to try that. My partner's not into it. But as you develop those friendships, you might actually find yourself feeling a little bit more comfortable in sharing some of those kinks, and then more comfort in the person to then explore sex toys, sex positions, kinks.
You're absolutely right, babe. I think it's one of the biggest things is that there's aspects of your sexuality and my sexuality that neither of us, that the opposite, the partner is not into, yeah. Right? Just to raise a small example, you know, the entire heterosexual nature of Mr. H, which entirely upsets Mrs. H, right? That's an example, right? But it's not an example that can be developed in this particular relationship. But that is something that I think is really quite common. It's less common for us as well, but we've certainly seen some couples out there that have very distinct differences in terms of what they're looking for. And those friends can offer that sexually, but also with a broader understanding and intent, so that they don't actually put themselves in a potentially harmful situation.
Yeah, it's a safer space, I think.
Dominance is definitely one of those things. So if you really want you want to be really submissive, sometimes you'll hear more of a dom-sub relationship where the submissive doesn't particularly want to be having that relationship with their primary. So they want to have that kind of the stranger who you don't live with and you're not folding clothes with and all that bullshit, vacuuming the floor. Yeah. Having that kind of that other person, you know, might be the more dominant person in the relationship.
I agree with all those great points. There is one little flip side, I suppose, for me, which is it leads into that, but you don't do that with me.
Mm-hmm.
Scenario it can do and it can breed a little bit of contempt, I think, if it's not handled in the right way, because it could develop into feelings of negativity if the other partner is like, oh, we don't do that with me, and they just wait until they see the other friends who will provide that need and fulfill that gap. But you can navigate it, and you can get to a point where you're like, okay, well, it's helping us both out here, because let's face it, you don't really like that and I would like to do that.
I'm interested in digging a little more into this with an example and bringing up the poll, the sexual timeline between partner versus other partners.
Mm.
So I'm curious then when it potentially becomes a problem, if the sexual interest or the sexual desire between partners changes. I mean, it all changes for all of us over time, right? It ebbs and flows depending on what's going on. But I'm curious as to whether that then could become a problem as well. If you're putting yourself in a situation where one of the partners is currently in the ebb rather than the flow, and the others in the flow, because they don't tend to sync, right? They're not always aligned. And you get to the point where you're now only having sex, potentially with your partner, only when you're with other people. And whether that then breeds a dynamic of potential pain as well, because that's something that can happen.
Yeah. Come. And I think we've seen it in the past where people, there's evident upset caused by, oh, well, now this friend with benefits turned up. Now you're interested.
Sex,
now you want to have the sex. Yeah. And and I can see how that might, you know, tombola quite easily in many relationships if you don't give your own relationship enough credence and, you know, you don't invest enough time into communicating about it before that becomes, you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy in the sexy friend boat. I think we've talked about that ourselves in the past, haven't we? Where we had a whole outpouring of, hey, you don't do that with me. Why do you do it with someone else?
If somebody doesn't want that and then they go and seek it. So say, for example, anal, right? Like somebody might just be like, I fucking hate anal. And say I hated anal and Daryl was like, I love it. I can't get enough of it. I want anal for breakfast.
Nom, 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 nom.
And that's a really good example.
I don't think that if I'm not keen on that, I honestly don't think I've got the right, probably not the correct word, but that I shouldn't start to stand on a soapbox and then get angry at him.
For wanting to pursue it with somebody else.
I think that if I'm completely against it, don't want to do it, whatever, I think that isn't that one of the reasons why a lot of people get in the lifestyles to explore some of this stuff, right?
I think this is true, that people do get in there to explore different things. But the anal one, that exact example is one that we live with. So, like, I really like anal. You're not so fussed on it. But you don't want me to have anal with somebody else.
No. So, and I realise I completely and utterly accept and acknowledge the, you know, the difficult challenge that presents, because you're like, what the fuck, woman? If you're not going to help me out with this desire, why shouldn't I seek it elsewhere if we're in, you know, a space where we do...
Other
have an open marriage.
Yeah.
I do accept the irony of that, of course. It's not something that we're alone in, though.
No, but you can apply that to a number of things. Like, you could say, okay, well, you know, I can't, I don't want you... Yeah, yeah, the dom sub thing, or it could, you could even extend it to bisexual experiences.
Yeah.
You could say, well, I can't provide that for you.
So I don't want you to
have
it.
And I don't want
else.
You to have it, so therefore,
going to cut
you.
My
you're
nose off to spite my face.
I'm going to prevent this. And you could take it down any number of roads. It's just that's the hill you've chosen to die on over it, I think.
I know. And I accept that it does create some irony and some difficult conversations.
I'm laughing so hard on my inside right now.
It's something that crops up a lot.
Yeah.
And it probably crops up more than just
how often
jealousy.
Are you talking about anal? I mean
we're doing it now, so quite a bit, I guess.
Yeah, but the spanking one, like we know a couple who she really likes to be spanked, but not necessarily from a partner again. Because
same with choking, and there's a whole lot of other things that you know, one person simply may be uncomfortable with because they've been in a situation where it's been – the other thing, of course, is – play practices that are in some ways aligned with some, you know, with some horror story from their past.
Right, yeah.
Right, you've got, because a rape fantasy is actually quite a common fantasy, right?
Yes,
but there's an
is.
Awful lot of people out there that have actually experienced this who are not interested in experiencing it even in a play scenario,
yep.
which I fully understand.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck.
And would be very triggered by watching their partner do that with somebody
so,
else.
Yeah, so there's an understanding there as well as to why that might... drive a change, but I mean, there's lots of scenarios out there where I think that comes down to comms, right? You just have to communicate
have to
about
be
it
because
if you don't get this right, you're going to fuck it up.
But to roll back into that potential to explore those new things, I think when you're having, say, it was the choking thing, for example, most people aren't going to go to a swingers club with somebody they've just met
and get
generally
choked.
Say, "Hey, choke me." Most people aren't probably going to do that, but with a longer term, maybe you would be like, okay, I actually feel more comfortable now. I would actually like you to, because I trust you.
I can express that and I can also guide you through it is the other thing, and I'll know that you'll take my guidance rather than just being the random dude that in the club who starts choking you and then you can't tell them to stop because they're fucking choking you.
So I think going back to Kate's point, which was, you know, the benefit we've talked about, you know, the great thing, but also just to be cognizant of the flip side that it can breed that level of toxicity, I
contempt.
Think.
If you just, my main takeout is no anal, I think, is what I've learned.
I think babe, what we've arrived at here is basically, no anal for you.
Not unless you can get your dick to your own arsehole, my friend.
Man, I've tried so hard for that, quite literally. One of the things I kind of want to bring up as a bit of a pro is around the ease and comfort that you can develop. Now, I appreciate that does have a flip side.
Oh, it does. I'm going to
taken away from Kate's...
Champing at the bit.
Bit of cardboard there.
Champing.
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 Mind blown now.
Champing at the bit.
Champing.
I thought it was like chomping at the bit.
No.
No, champing.
Because horses have a bit in their mouth and they chomp.
No, they
champ. Drink your wine. Think about it. Take a breath.
We've blown some minds today.
They do. They're champing at the bit.
What's the possibility all three people are lying and I should Google?
I promise you, you can look at my search history. You may not want to, but you can look at it and it will not have anything around champing and chomping at the bit.
Why are you searching champing at the bit?
I'm not. I don't need to because I know what it is. I'm trying to prove to Kate that I didn't premeditate this Google search just to call her out on her lack of knowledge around equine chomping. She's Googling it now.
Okay, but there is also, if you Google chomping at the bit, it actually, if you start typing in chomping, it comes up as a recommendation for chomping at the bit.
Yeah, because
it's almost
it's been
like
colloquialized.
There's a whole group of people who don't know how to do English.
Correct.
Oh, dear podcast listener, if you're out there and you're experiencing some difficulty with understanding that it is actually champing at the bit, I'm with you, and please call 1-800, we're both fucked up. Carry on, Mr. H.
As I was saying, the ease and the comfort, the bit you were champing to get at was...
why didn't you let Kate have the floor for this? Because she is beautifully prepared on her cardboard.
So Kate, I think, wants to take this as a negative piece, but I think there is a positive first need to...
Go.
Because
all right, go on, Mr. Jedi.
Well, it is about the developing the relationships and about sort of being comfortable with each other as we've sort of been circling
around.
That's
a lovely place to be.
It is. And it can mean that you can be your most authentic self together. You can do all this good stuff. You can not worry about what you're talking about because you're all comfortable.
I've got a question. Does that mean that you can fart in front of them?
I had the same question.
God, we're like hive minds.
Oh,
we literally are hive minds.
If I say yes, are you going to fart?
I'm asking you honestly, would you fart in front of a sexy friend?
Do you fart in front of each other?
Yeah.
On purpose?
Yeah.
I do not do it on purpose.
Do you guess each other's farts? Because that's just strange.
I don't think we guess
he
them.
He does it just because he does.
Yeah.
I only do it in an absolute emergency.
No, it's lies. Absolute lies.
Would you do it in front of friends with the benefits?
I think it depends on the situation, I guess.
The answer is fucking no, Mr. H.
No, he does. I reckon he does.
I would do.
Look, he's looking. He's trying to backtrack now.
I'm not backtracking at all.
No, you're saying, right, one of the pros of these friends that with deep connections.
Is being able to fart in front of them.
So comfortable and at ease with them.
This is not what I've said.
A little Tommy Vart just pops out and you're like, it's okay, they're friends that I know really well.
Absolutely what I've not said. What I've said is that
what he's saying is he does that whilst getting a blowjob. That's all I heard.
Is that a Blumpkin but with just farts?
I think, isn't that part of the plot of Mallrats, the film?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I should watch it without falling asleep.
Because he did a fart while having a blowjob.
Yeah. If I farted in front of you, I would actually crawl under this table, die, set the fucking house on fire, change my name and fly to a different country.
And that's just because of the smell.
Why? But why?
We don't fart in front of each other.
No.
We mostly try not to. And if I do, I'm absolutely embarrassed. And then I apologize profusely.
But it's a normal thing.
But I don't fart in front of her either.
Why? What's wrong with you?
What's fucking wrong with you, mate?
I had a whole lifetime of people being prolific with and obvious with.
Well, you
their
don't
farts.
Have to go out of your way to turn it into a symphony like he does. But you know, moving on from the symphony fantastique of Mr. H's farts, my question is: would you not get to a level of comfort where it's just you'd have a wee in front of each other, right? Maybe? Oh, nope. God, no.
No, we don't wee in front of each other.
Why?
We also don't shit in front of each other just
oh, no,
to cover off
we don't
off
do that.
All of
no,
the bowel
we
movement.
We jawline somewhere.
Okay.
We don't wee in front of each other either.
Would you burp in front of them?
Would I burp?
Yes.
No.
Not like outwardly like... But like if you're there and you've just had a fizzy drink and you have a little bit of a little bit of a burp and then you say, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Right, obviously you'd say, excuse me, we're not monsters, but you would still maybe the other end. Sometimes it may happen.
No, I would actually leave the house. Honestly, if I farted right now, I think I would actually get up and say, like, I need to go for a walk or something. I don't think I could be around you for a... I'd die of
Why?
Fucking embarrassment.
It's a normal human thing.
Yeah, but mainly because that her farts will peel paint.
They do not. There was that one time in Bali.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, the time you lost your shoe because you shat on your own foot.
That's Thailand.
That's a different story.
That's a very different take.
Stop talking about farting and shits.
It was a question relating to the level of comfort and connection that you have with people, but you got to a point in that relationship where you actually felt so comfortable. And granted, there will be a flip side to this, which we'll dig into, but you could get to a point where even that is something that you like, okay, well, that's just what regular people do sometimes.
But I think there is an ease and trust. And like we've had friends and relationships where we've trusted them with a key to our house.
Yeah.
And they've been able to, you know, knock up there if we're not in and stuff like that.
Our next door neighbours have a key to our house and I wouldn't fart in front of them either.
Okay.
What are the ease things do you have? Like what's the purpose of having...
In terms of just that ease, it's that knowing what people drink, knowing what they like, what they don't like, and you just get on. There's like really developed friendships and it just feels very, very comfortable.
Mm.
It's like an extended relationship, isn't it?
It's a safe environment, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But you even gravitate to having maybe your own favourite areas of the house.
Yeah.
You know, you just get so comfortable. I've been holding on to your heated cushion for the last 2 hours.
I know,
now
we're getting her for a next present. I think that's... Why? So you said ease.
Yeah.
I actually have a few cons that kind of fit this. So I want to talk about two cons in a row, actually. And my first con is actually quite an easy one because it's too easy to be with your friends that it can stop you from meeting new people.
In fact, that's something that I have also written down and on my iPad. And
it's something that we've decided already is an issue that we need to address anyway for us because we don't want to get trapped into being so complacent and lazy.
And certainly we've discussed this in that it's been very convenient to spend time with our friends. And we love our friends dearly, but it has made us very lazy in terms of going out and finding new people. Because when you've got a roster of people that you want to see, but it's a roster of friends, like, yeah. you know, you fill your time seeing your friends because they're great to hang around with and they're awesome.
Feeling a little more like a rotisserie chicken at this point.
But you kind of see them every other weekend or whatever. And but by the time you've seen your friends, there is very little time left to see other people and make way for new adventures.
And because you like all that time so much, you don't really need, you just think, oh, what's the point of looking for new people? I love the people I'm seeing.
I agree, but I think there is I love the new adventures as well.
I know you do.
And that's kind of where we've got to in our journey, and that we have a wonderful group of friends, and they are all fantastic, and it's great seeing them. But I'm also like, it'd be great to find other people and bring them into the collective and make them part of the friendship circle.
Because we're talking about this ease and it can stop you from meeting other people, I think it can stop you from meeting other people because it's easy. But I want to throw a secondary con into that. This is not my second con. This is just a little bonus con.
Yeah.
Which is that sometimes
con 2.0.
There can be jealousy.
Yeah.
From your friends. So say for example, if we have some
or for your friends
great pants on great friends, and then what you just said, Mrs. H, is that you know you love spending time with them, right? Mm. But if all of a sudden I'm like, actually, I'm not available on Friday night because we're going to go out and find new people.
Yeah.
Those friends could quite easily feel rejected, upset. Why aren't you inviting us? Why can't the four of us go and meet these new people?
What's wrong with us now?
What's wrong with us?
Yeah.
And so I think there can be some jealousy potentially involved in that
once
as well.
Once we get more than one set of friends, we might be able to assess that.
Yeah, let's assess it.
We'll assess that once we get more than one.
The challenge is, though, is that friendships, like any relationship, take work. Mm. And you do have to put that effort in to maintain them in the right way. Apparently, I mean, Daryl's looking like that may not be true, but I think that's really important. But the great friends will often raise you up and celebrate your new adventures and your successes.
Only in the hope that they get to shag the other people.
Yeah, I think you know that may well be
or
the case.
Or not. It might just be happy in an altruistic way.
Whatever you need to keep your smiley, happy, rainbow-filled world alive.
But also, it is hard if you see your other friends going out and they're having a great time. I am the king of FOMO, and I'm like, bastards.
You aren't.
They are off having a great time, and I feel very happy for them. But at the same time, I'm like, why aren't they seeing us this particular time?
Why can't we go see other people? Yeah. Why didn't you get the invite? Same good connections,
That's the tricky bit.
We have 8 chairs at our house, so you know.
Just, yeah, we'll bring them with us.
That's it. That's all we got. Like, if there's more than 8 people coming, 2 don't get to come.
No, that's fair. And that's right. There should be a selection process.
A roster, you say, yes.
How many pros do you have left, actually?
About having adventures together. I quite like the fact that you create your own little unit as a friendship group. And like we do as a group, and we go off on our own little, or we go to a spicy island together.
Pro, activities with friends. Con, hangovers.
Activities with friends.
Yes, hangovers and expense.
But the hangovers are all part of the fun. The next day when you're just like, oh my God, I'm going to die, you went together.
That's a fun thing.
So new experiences.
New experiences together as a group. I think that's a little bit different to just going off and doing your own.
Like axe throwing.
Nice.
Yeah, axe throwing.
Exactly.
But I love the fact that we can gather friends and do something and do an activity. And sometimes that can be a pants on activity and sometimes that's a pants off one. And we've had some great adventures over
here. We've never organised a purely play event, like for a group of
people. For a group of people?
No. Like for a group of our friends. We've never done that.
We've had couples where we're like, oh, obviously.
No, that's why I added the term group.
No, we haven't done that.
I think we have a couple of times.
Hey, you mean like organised a play
like
session?
Like New Year's Eve, for example, where we had people around.
Well, we did, but we didn't make it explicitly a condition of coming to our house and say you have to have a Buckingham orgy by midnight.
Everyone must be allowed to have anal.
I'm putting that on our next event. As we announce it, it's
anal only orgy. Anal only orgy. I can't even say that.
Okay, I'm gonna rattle off because I want to start talking about cons soon. So I'm going to rattle off real quick. Potential for sharing toys and lingerie. That's something that you don't normally do. So that's kind of something sexy and fun and interesting and all the rest of it. You can tell sexy stories to your friends as well. Like I could quite literally tell you a sex story about, you know, what we've been doing and you're quite welcome and open to hearing that.
Oh, Lord, teach me how to do this because for the love of God, Kate, I cannot tell a sexy story as we have found out.
And my one of my other ones
quietly,
is
quietly, neither can Kate. So.
You can be nude on an island and celebrate each other's fuck wins. You know, that's great.
Yeah.
And my my final one for a pro is that you meet similar tribe. So in other words, friends of friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the always extended and you grow friendship your little sex zone friendship.
The extended fuckship. Friendship.
Yes.
The extended fuck circle.
Fuck buddies.
Isn't it weird though when you meet friends of friends and
you
those,
really don't want to fuck them?
Yeah, and it's and you're like. Oh, what is this about? You guys are cool. You hang around with us and you're great and it's fantastic. And then there's these people who you've fucked and oh, this is disappointing.
And they're horrific. What were you thinking? What,
yeah, why did you?
You could do better.
Yeah, you could do us.
But doesn't that then make you or make awful? You yes. question me maybe and think, why the fuck are you so picky then? Like, is it you?
What, I don't know where this has gone.
Well, no, because if you realise
downhill.
It, yes. No, I was going to say, sometimes when you see other people making all these very, very easy connections and having great sex and you're like, huh, am I just uber fussy because I don't do that as frequently? Because that's how, wow.
Yes, that is the...
Maybe I am.
I mean, if you take away the maybe, you're probably somewhere near the mark.
It's kind of why I want to talk to you about your journey because I think that you might do better if you compartmentalize some of the experiences that you're having, which we can probably
lower my standards. Is what you're saying?
No,
again, just your pants.
No, not lower your standards. Have experiences that you gain something out of, but maybe not the whole thing every single time.
So gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, I did have one more that I just thought about.
I'm pretty sure Mr. H has others as well over there as well.
Fringe benefits.
Right. So like not just the friends of the friends. No, but say for example, somebody's got a fucking awesome boat or yacht.
Yes. Mm.
So fringe benefit would be being able to go over there and have like pool parties. If somebody else is a great cook, that'd be fun.
One of the best fringe benefits is when they have great pets.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true.
I love that.
Do you have any more positives before we talk about the negatives?
Are we going to finish on the negatives? That's a great place to be. Yeah.
It's like half a shit sandwich. We're just getting to the shit bit and stopping. It's fantastic.
Isn't it supposed to be the shit sandwich is supposed to have the positive.
I'll finish up with a positive at the very end then.
It'll be that.
Yeah, you will.
It'll be that my beard's come in real nice, won't it?
Anyone have any more positives?
I don't think, nothing that we haven't already sort of touched on.
I would like to just point out also that when Mr. H's iPad thing goes dark, I don't need to tap the screen and then unlock
God,
it. I can
so
actually
true.
Just see my notes
you
right in front of me on this piece of cardboard.
Wait until it's dark and there's no light and then you won't be able to see your list at all, so fuck you.
Okay.
Where do you live that you can't like turn a switch and make light emanate from the ceiling?
You're not my real dad, shut up.
Okay, so we spoke earlier about things being easy or too easy.
Yes.
One of my cons that I think is probably going to bring up the most amount of conversation here is the total lack and loss of effort. And in that, I mean planning dates. Like if you're going with somebody on a first date, second date, third date, you might actually be like, oh, let's go and do activity or go here or do this or whatever. I think you can have people that just stop planning.
That just turn up to your house, drink your booze and then fuck off.
You can have
great, those people.
a loss of effort in things like dressing up or a loss of effort in things like grooming.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a loss of effort in, I know, for example, Mrs. H, you love to smell nice, for example. And that's
I like people to smell nice.
That's your
big
thing, right? So
I
you
like
might have
smell.
A loss of that.
Probably should have showered this morning.
I think you could probably sum all these up as familiarity breeds contempt, right? Because the more familiar you get with somebody.
Kate's still chomping at the bit over here. You've just blown her mind with a whole other fucking sentence.
But it's true. The more familiar you are with someone, the more relaxed some of your standards might be because you don't have to try as hard, because you don't need to try as hard, because you've already done the groundwork and made the great connection.
But I say that as I said before, every relationship takes effort and needs maintenance. So I try to subscribe to the fact that I try and continue to put that effort in.
But I think in relationships are primary relationship, like you might start to gain a bit of weight, you know, and I think we eventually just automatically go into this ease of things where you're just not making as much effort.
Well, that's why having the addition of newcomers to the group or newcomers to your personal circle is so important, as to what you touched on before, right? Because you do need occasionally a kick in the balls to remind you, and a newcomer to your group will kick everyone in that group in the balls a little, right? They need to
be reminded.
Don't turn up in your Barbie PJs, not your regular PJs, you know?
Seems oddly it's a very specific.
Very niche.
So I do think that there is one of the biggest cons is probably that.
But that's a con to any relationship.
Of course it is. This is kind of what Mr. H keeps going back to. This is at the end of the day a relationship, and it requires energy, effort, you know.
Footwork.
Oi, go. Oi, more passion. More passion. More passion. More energy. More energy. More footwork. More footwork. More footwork.
I feel seen.
If your house needs to be, I don't know, fixed because something's not right, then your relationship's no different, right? You need to maintain it, and you need to give it some love sometimes and
just occasionally let it have anal.
And he occasionally is allowed to have anal.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Winning. But let's not dwell there for too long, like the old house that's dilapidated and fallen to bits like many relationships.
Wow. Dark, man. Wow. I mean, I was wondering where you were heading with that, but you fucking got there.
You place a lot of emphasis, don't you, and value on how much your own relationship feels in terms of effort.
Yeah.
And how much you're putting into that.
That effort can be the way that you present yourself, what you bring to the table, but also can just be effort to see you.
Mm.
And I think the effort to see you is one that really, really resonates with me, because I want to see people as much as I can. I like the interactions. I like going, catching up with people, this sort of stuff. I enjoy people, believe it or not. And I think when I don't get that same level of interest and investment back, I feel like the relationship isn't as
healthy.
Worthy. Yeah, it's not healthy. Yeah. I feel devalued, and I feel like they don't want to spend time with me.
Tell us how you really feel.
I will do, and I'll continue.
But do you also maybe accept that other people's levels of commitment may vary depending on what they have going on in their lives? We do not.
This is about me, not other people.
But it's about how you feel.
Me.
But it's also really important that we know that other people may have lots and lots of different things that they have to factor in.
100% understand
seeing
that.
Seeing you might be lower down the list of priorities.
And that's how I feel, that I am a lower down the priority. And I like
well
to be number one.
Up.
Yes, thank you. I think there is something about, even if you can't see people, I appreciate people have lives, they have stuff going on, they have kids, they have family that need taken care of, there's all sorts of disasters in everyday life, I get that. But I think the important bit is the recognition that you want to see other people. So even if you can't do it, you go, how are you, like, and I just send a message, how are you doing? Are you okay? Sorry, we haven't been able to catch up.
Is that all you require to feel valued?
I think that would help significantly.
I think it's a time thing too.
You should try that with the whole anal scenario where you just send him a message saying, hey, look, I know you want it, can't do it. Sorry about that.
But I'm just going to look at my phone for no reason at all.
I'm looking at my phone for no reason.
I do think there's a time element to that. I think that, of course, friendships should appreciate that people have their own shit to deal with.
Yeah.
You should know that, right now I'm having a really shitty time and I'm probably going to not be as great. But if that carries on for 3, 6, 12, that's the issue. I think it's not.
Yeah.
If I just reached out to you and I said, you know what, I'm actually a bit shit, right? I'm thinking about you guys, but I'm actually kind of going through the ringer right now and I'm probably going to not be great. I think that would probably, correct me if I'm wrong, but that might
that
help.
Would do that. That does the job.
But if that's 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, I think that's when you start to go, well, actually, where is the level of energy? And I think that's the difference. And the problem there is, yes, there might be different expectations on the people and what they need, desire and hope. And then you just got to go, and that person's not going to give it to me like any relationship, and just walk away.
And I recognize that I'm particularly needy when it comes to this stuff. I know that.
What? And yes, the anal.
And the anal. But
so needy.
I do get that, but I also find it very hard. I struggle when I don't see the same love language back.
Yeah, fine.
And I have to check myself. And you know, I know quite often Mrs. H doesn't give a fuck if she doesn't hear back from people for quite a while.
Oh,
she's
I've thought I'm up bothered sometimes.
Yes, yeah.
I don't take it so personally. Maybe.
Yeah. Whereas I will take it very, very personally.
Like, you know, Daryl never says anything in the group chat. I'm like, sorry.
He does. He turns up occasionally.
I know when I see him, he'll give me all the love.
Do you remember when the group chat used to be called Holy Fuck, Daryl?
Yeah, there's a dog in the playground.
Loss of effort. And I think that it then becomes this, and this rolls into another one of my cons, which is the expectation of sex.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're hanging out. We're just hanging and sitting around and we're not really, you know, got our hair done or our makeup done or smelling nice, for example.
Right.
And like, I guess it's midnight, so we'll just fuck now. And there's a complete lack then of, just effort, right? There's a complete lack of effort. And I think that then becomes like, oh, okay, what the fuck? Like, I'm not, you've not made me interested at all. You've not made me intrigued. You've not enticed me. You just think now because we have that friendship that, okay, well, we're going to fuck now and you don't have to put any effort in and it's bullshit.
I get that. But then the flip side, I guess, is if the first thing you did when you met them at the door was like, right, come on, we're going to fuck first. So you don't feel that you're the byproduct at the end of a very long night and we're all tired and we probably should have sex because we should, because that's why we've met. So where is the balance if you're putting the priority on the sex at the beginning?
It's the intention, I think.
Yeah, maybe the intention. Hello.
Hey.
I thought you were trying to attack our attention.
I just hadn't said anything in a while.
Oh.
That's all.
Do you have anything to add?
No.
Excellent.
Nice. There is something about that. There is a, not a convenience, but there is a...
I think there is a convenience, yeah, sometimes.
I think, but sometimes that can be a good thing. I think that can be, you can just end up tumbling into bed with people and that's fine. But if that's the only thing that you do, if there is no effort around the other times and you don't try to make things special, exciting, interesting or whatever, that's when you kind of go, well, am I just being a bit used here? And that's when you, all those sort of negative feelings start to creep in.
I've never had a concern with being sexually used.
No, never?
Would you like to be sexually used?
I'm actually quite good at being sexually used, in fact. It's my jam. I just lay there and it happens and then I go to sleep. It's just not true. I don't really get to sleep afterward. So anyway.
So in terms of cons, I think sometimes relationships can sort of head quite close towards like a poly relationship without ever actually crossing that.
Without that ever being discussed.
Yeah.
Because I think to truly progress to a poly relationship, you have to have a discussion about how it has become a poly relationship. Unless, of course, you're openly poly with others and it's something
And if that's your official jam and your approach, great. Yep. But I think some relationships get very, very close to that aspects.
Yes, agreed.
And you kind of go, oh, we're, and then that's when it's difficult because the emotions like being jealous of them, seeing other people or all that sort of stuff becomes...
You're in uncharted territory.
Yeah, it becomes a little bit more difficult to navigate, mitigate, etc. So I think that's a thing. It can be a good thing that you've got this great relationship and you're happy to spend time with one another, all this sort of great stuff, but sometimes the not quite labeling that relationship or knowing how to navigate it can be...
Dangerous.
I've got a question for you, Mr. H.
Oh, good.
Yes. So I was just thinking back to the comment you made.
5 years ago that I haven't gotten over, and let's fucking talk about it.
The comment that you made around the value you place on love language and the value you place on how much someone invests into making you feel like the effort is reciprocated in many ways. So you talked about that being as a commitment of time initially. How do you feel about the same level of value you feel from someone making a physical effort for you?
I like it.
But do you expect that to shift over time, depending on the nature of your relationships? Or do you feel less valued if someone doesn't make the same effort they did, for example, the first time they met you?
Yeah, to a certain extent. Like, everyone wants to feel valued, right?
Right.
And everyone wants to feel desired, or one hopes.
Do you feel less desired, maybe, if someone doesn't maintain the effort?
If they don't maintain the effort or put that in and try and sort that, I guess I do feel like it goes back to that whole any relationship requires effort. And I think if the effort in a sexual way or those advances or whatever you might want to call it has decreased, then actually I do feel like I'm less attracted to people, people are less interested in all that sort of negative stuff.
No, that did answer my question. I was just interested as to those other levels of value you place in the relationships that we have.
I mean, it's not just, it is obviously time, effort, energy. It's, and that is in the connection, that is in the communication, that's in the friendship going place, or whatever it might be. And that does extend to sort of someone letting you know that they're interested in being forwards and all that sort of stuff as well, I think.
What do you think, Kate?
I think it could probably, if you have a friendship that starts more as a pants on, pants off friendship, I'm saying it once, I'm sorry, Daryl. It starts that way and then maybe it just moves into a friendship based. I think that there's potential for some resentment. What did I do? Am I not attractive enough? Yeah, we've had friends where all four of us have kind of gone through like maybe some weight gain over the time. And so, yes, have we become less physically interested in them? And I'm sure they also us. that's actually happened before. You know, we've been like, okay, that person's probably a little bit heavier than when I met them, whatever. Like, that can happen. And I think, yes, that might make people feel really, really shitty about themselves. I think it's got the opportunity to do that. And then it could actually sour the friendship. So I think if you took sex off the table, that's potentially going to cause a bit of a rift. And it's not that sex has to be the leading part of that relationship. I just think that it's probably all the other feelings that come along with that. Like, I'm not good enough. You found somebody else. You know, I've gotten weight gain, whatever it looks like for you.
Do you think it's important, though, to take that off the table and have the discussion? Or do you think that relationships naturally fall into the situation where you don't have to have that conversation?
I think that would naturally happen. That, I don't know.
I don't think you have to have that conversation. In fact, given most relationships, that's the conversation that's never had. Mm-hmm. Right? It's very rare somebody says to their partner, I'm finding you less attractive because you've gained weight or lost weight or, you know, coloured your hair titanium blue.
Never had that one.
I don't think that has to happen in any relationship. I think it just becomes something that, especially if you are in a relationship where there's more than just the sex, right? And because these relationships are, we have sex as part of them, but they're not necessarily
not
driven
whole.
By sex, right? So with that in mind, taking sex off the table shouldn't remove the friendship, right?
But how do you take sex off the table if you don't want to have... No. If you don't want to have sex anymore with friends that you once had sex with, and then over time, for whatever reason, your interest level waned because of whatever the reasons were, you just didn't want to have sex with them anymore. Do you feel you're almost obligated to kind of give them a bit of a... manage their expectations, because they may turn up thinking, oh, it's go.
Yeah, I think, well, so we've done that before. We just say, look, this is not a play. We just say at the beginning, we say, look, hey, we really want to catch up, but we're not playing.
Oh, okay. So you kind of manage it a little bit in advance. So.
And we actually did that very recently.
Yeah.
We actually had a conversation to say, hey, here's where we're at right now. And
we're not gonna do that.
Is what's going on. And cool. But, yeah. And it wasn't, but I think in that
sense. And I think the true sense of a good friendship is when somebody says, okay, yeah, no problem, come around, let's have a drink, let's have a meal.
Yeah, and that might still salvage the friendship and it may still carry on.
It may not as well.
It may not.
Right? But that's how life works. I don't think you can't always be thinking of everyone else's.
Sometimes you have to look after yourself, yeah.
When you're involved in your own.
Do you think there's a point at which in those types of situation you know when you've reached a point of no return and sex is not feasible any longer in that relationship?
I do, yes. Certainly once you get to the point where, so forgetting the sex, but if you're uncomfortable in a sexual situation with people, then putting yourself back into that situation is wholeheartedly dangerous, because you are essentially putting yourself into a position of self-damage. That's not smart. So you have, I think when it gets to that situation, there's two ways of doing it, of course. You can passively doing it by continuing to say every time you catch up, hey, this is just a catch up. I think that's a softer way to do it. Mm. But you have to rely on the other person's emotional intelligence to start to understand what's going on, which is not always the case, right? So in some cases, if you've got somebody who's not emotionally intelligent, you may have to just say, look, sorry, guys, we've changed our interest. That may kill the relationship.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So if you wish to hold on to the friendship, the way I would probably play it is to actually start tapering off the sex and then just make it sort of accepted that that's not the norm. You know, so you walk back from it being somewhat normal to being not the norm, and then hopefully that retains the friendship along the way.
Yeah, and I guess if it doesn't, it doesn't.
It doesn't, yeah. There's not a lot you can do about it at the other end, right?
I do have another con. This is specifically.
Why do you keep writing things down? I mean,
this is specifically for you guys.
See, if you had an iPad, this wouldn't be happening. We wouldn't be getting more and more cons.
This is specifically for you.
Okay.
The cost of flights to see each other, smiley face. That's a bit of a con.
Yeah, but
totally worth it though.
You make these friends and then you're like, wait a second, now.
Wait. We are a fuckload closer than Australia. No, I know, this is true.
This is what I'm saying. And then, but you know, also you've got some friends in the States now, and you know, you've got.
Yeah.
Even in the UK though, you've got friends that are maybe a bit of a further drive away. So what do? You have to pay for a hotel for the night, maybe.
Yeah.
Got to drive there. So there is a cost associated with this shit.
There is such a cost with it.
But nothing's
also
free, man.
You can place a value on it if you've got no money, but equally you find a way. You find creative ways to make your budget go further so that you can meet in the middle, or
in the UK they call it dogging.
or keep the activities that you do share when you finally do catch up to be, you know, within your budget so that you can maximize the time that you spend maybe traveling to get to that destination and just enjoy the time and not make it into like some all singing, all dancing, must do like 80 things, because just spending time together is enough sometimes.
You use your UK right to wander, to find a forest and then make it work.
I think there is a, this goes back to that whole putting effort in thing again. I think you have to be understanding that if someone's in a different country, they're not going to be able to drop everything to see easily. You know, some people are a little bit more intense and able and mobile and
financially mobile as well, right?
Yes,
absolutely. That's a big part of this.
But I think that maintaining that relationship through the chats, be it just checking and every now and then having the Zoom calls, all the other things that help, I think they're important.
Mm-hmm.
They're an important part of the makeup. And, you know, just we've got friends that occasionally send us like little gifts and stuff like that, just random things, just to go, hey, we were thinking about you. And it's not a massive cost, it is a cost, obviously, but it's those little moments where you go, oh, they were thinking of us. That's cool. I like, that's nice. I feel warm and lovely and that they like us.
I'm going to send Davil a fart in the post from now on.
We've already sent him a shit in the post before.
I'm going to do a fart in the post from now on.
You can sell that, you know.
Farts in a jar. Mm-hmm. I know. I've heard all about this.
Mm.
The only thing that I wanted to really pull out from the cons is that sort of sense of ownership of your friends. And I think that can be quite surprising, because it is an emotional investment and you've put all the effort in and you've built these relationships up. And then, you know, you feel very protective. That can be a great thing and that can be really wonderful, but also it can be very difficult when they find their new friends or they do something that's awesome and you're not involved in that. So that stuff can be quite challenging, particularly for me, as I said before, was the king of FOMO. I, you know, don't like missing out on anything.
Daryl, do you give any fucks about any of that?
Not a single.
Not a fit single.
No. No. Yeah. Which unfortunately has the opposite effect as well, right? Because I will then just do things without any thought for what that might do to somebody like Simon. Like it's, you know, like it's just
you're
not
in that mindset.
Because it's not because I intentionally aim to hurt or anything. It's more just it just doesn't factor for me. So it's so low that it doesn't even come into my mind.
Yeah. Whereas I'm, you know, prepared for any level of hurt that no one has intended, probably. But I'm still going to be upset and crying in the corner because. You know, I've not been messaged in 6.5 minutes. I fully realise that I am an emotional being and all of this stuff impacts
I'll give it to you in a travel sense. So say, for example, this is where him and I differ a lot. If we were, say, we're still living in Australia.
One of the many points.
Yeah. Like, for example, I only have, like, I have one more line on my massive, massive forehead.
Yes.
I have one. That's one of the differences.
One more line.
Anyway, say we're still living in Australia and you guys were in England. And we were going on holiday in Spain or Italy,
mm-hmm.
It probably wouldn't occur to Daryl to reach out and say, we're going to be in Italy. That's an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever the fuck it is, flight from you guys. Why don't you, if you can financially, come over and see us?
Yeah.
That probably wouldn't occur to him, whereas it would for me. And on the flip side of that, say, for example, somebody was coming from America or Canada or Australia or wherever, and they're coming to Europe and they're only a couple of countries away where we could possibly go and see them, and they didn't make the effort to say, like, hey, by the way, guys, we're here. Love to see you. We can't come to Amsterdam. Really want to see if by chance you guys can come. Like, that would hurt me.
Yeah.
If people were kind of on my side of the world and didn't at least attempt to see if we can jump on the flight for 1, 2, 3 hours.
Yeah, because you need to find the golden opportunities where you can make them into line and make the most of that time keep the money low.
Yeah, exactly.
So why not try and do all that?
You are on the money. I wouldn't think about it.
Yeah, you wouldn't care. But honestly, I think if some of our American, Canadian, Australia, whatever, if they came anywhere in the Europe space and they didn't reach out and try to say, hey, how can we connect? I would think I would actually feel quite hurt by that.
Yeah, and I would be, and that's happened before.
Yeah,
and we've seen that, and I've skulked around for a few days and kicked things, and also, but again, it comes back to that
the cat. You only kick the cat, right?
Yeah, yeah, just the cat.
Jesus Christ, run! the look you're getting from Mrs. H right now.
Metaphorical cat. Yes, probably.
One metaphorical cat.
Probably
out
that, definitely.
Mrs. H is like, I'm going to metaphorically kick you in your ass. let's actually end on a question. Who do we think that having this kind of relationship is for in the lifestyle? Friends with pants on, pants off, friendships last, I'm going to say it, Daryl. Who do we think this relationship is for? What kind of person in the lifestyle would you recommend or not recommend this kind of dynamic to?
I think whilst it comes with a level of risk, I think this is my favourite type of, you know, I don't like the rock up and fuck approach. That's not for me. And I think Daryl seems to disagree though, but it's mostly because there's no anal involved and, you know, Phil. But that sort of one night connection only isn't my favoured way of doing this, and certainly doesn't seem to be Mrs. H's either.
No, so although it can happen and it has happened in the past. It's not to exclude it. It's slut. Just not my favoured or our favoured way of building connections.
So I think for people that really value relationships, this is the best way to experience that sort of lifestyle piece. And also people that maybe they're not quite ready to go into like a poly relationship, but kind of want elements of that, it might be a useful training ground. Mm. Like a sample platter.
A sample platter.
Yes. An amused bush.
I mean, that sounded too much like bush.
Yeah, an amused bush. So yeah, I think that would be where my recommendation would be. This is my preferred approach. Wife?
No, I completely agree. And, you know, we are broadly on the same page with that, because neither of us particularly favour the happenstance connections that are very few and far between, because they're hard to cultivate and they're hard, you know, to even find times when all the moons align like that. And so I can say safely that, you know, some of the friends that we've made via this kind of friends with benefits, sorry, Daryl, remain firmly, I hope, friends for life.
Yeah.
Because we've made and built strong connections and friendships, and I know that they would do anything for us and we would for them.
Yeah.
You know, and they mean the world to me, you know, yourselves included, like Kate, Daryl, like we love you guys. And
thanks, man. Love you too.
It's kind of, I feel like I'm so glad we met you. And, you know, the same goes for all those great friendships that we do have like that. And I think
apart from the shit ones, we don't like them.
Apart from the shit ones.
Yeah, the shit ones, you're out.
But they're fabulous. They're
having a cull.
They're deeper and more connected than some vanilla friendships.
Yeah, agreed.
Daryl, who would you recommend or not recommend this type of approach to?
I would not recommend this approach to a couple that is not okay in any way with strong bonded relationships with others. So I think there's many couples out there who are dealing with perhaps with previous trauma or other things that lend them to be much more emotionally reactive to small things that are driven from perhaps from that what that history looks like. So I wouldn't recommend it to people who are in a relationship with someone, or they're both in a, you know, together in that scenario. Not at all. It can be very challenging to not feel offended by certain things going on. You know, as an example, you know, just somebody receiving a text message remotely from the group chat, or a chat, you know, a chat remotely from the group chat that you have with another couple that is totally benign. You know, it might be, when is their birthday, because we want to celebrate it as a group, but I don't want them to know that we're looking at it. If you're already pre-charged for that to be something that will piss you off, then don't do it, because that happens, right? And in every case that we've had somebody reach out outside of the group chat, it's always something benign. Or they're saying, we're not in a good spot and we don't want to put it in the group chat because we don't want to talk about it openly. We just want to tell you so that you guys can talk about it and know, but we're kind of embarrassed about where we are right now, or whatever that is, right? So it's generally very benign. So that, I would say no to people like that. Anyone who has that predisposition to fire up about anything that is outside of the norm in relationships. The other is, so in terms of people who should do it, again, I would say for pre-poly, as I'll call it, for pre-poly, that would be a good way to assess whether your relationship can deal with it. Also, post-poly is another place. You know, when you've been in a poly relationship and you're not sure that you want to go back there again, it's a nice place to be. You still have a strong friendship / love with with another couple or a group of people that doesn't have to stretch the bounds of being in love, just a loving relationship. So post is good as well. But who else do it? I mean, people who enjoy having good sex with people that they know well enough to be able to ask for what they want. So one night, I agree. I quite like a one night occasionally. It's not something that's on my absolute every time do list, but very rarely does a one-night stand meet the same sexual gratification level as something that's been a longer-term play scenario. because you start to get used to what people want and you start to be more open with what you want as well, because you're less embarrassed about your freaky content. You let your freak flag fly. So that would be the other group that I would say.
Do you see what happens when you're actually fucking on the podcast? All those three things were amazing. The fuck?
Babe, they all came from the beard.
To be fair, he did talk about farts for like 20 minutes. So balance, right? Balance.
I hadn't thought about the poly thing, but that's an interesting take on it. I think this would work well for people who, yeah, do want to have that extra level of like exploring new things. I think, though, it wouldn't work for people who don't have the time. If you're coming back to somebody who wants that little bit of extra energy and relationship and you just don't have the time for it, don't do it. Anyway, I think that's we're going to end on that now.
That's a fucking wrap. We're out.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap.
My beard has delivered all of the bestness it has to offer.
Yes.
It needs more lubrication to be more appropriately beardy.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on the podcast.
Should we just before we finish up, should we just have another quick chat about farts, or are we
done
with that?
Oh, well.
I think we just go with Wanda Hoppers out and then drop the mics.
The Wanda Hoppers are out. Bye, guys.
Ciao.
Bye.
I'm not touching anything from now on in, except my penis is just kind of regular.
Your penis is regular?
It's a regular penis.
Okay, that's good.
It would be irregular. It's better than be irregular. Yeah, which
is taking a strange turn.
Like just a smaller angle than a regular angle.
That's a hard angle. Or is it a right angle?
It's a right angle.
Don't be obtuse.
Oh, man. You've been holding on to that for how long?
No, it just naturally
this
arrived.
This is like the fun guy mushroom thing. This is one that Gavin dolls out with.
It just fitted the moment.
It did.